the kiddos next door. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Matthew chapter 28 for a little bit this morning. We're going to kind of bounce over. But we talk about what's going on in this world today, and I don't know about you, but I've been kind of heavy-hearted as I look at the events around us. And even in my own life, you know, we've turned around, and I keep saying I feel like we've turned a corner with this COVID. Every time I think that, I just heard that there's more mask mandates and a few places are starting to shut down a little bit more. It's like, no, I don't want to do that again. I did that ride. I don't want to do it again. How about you? You know, and I got really kind of scared because after a while, I was going to say, politicians kind of repeat themselves. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle, right? And you hear this because I think they think we forget. And so I was talking, you know, I was listening and talking about the airlines. And we flew, and all I did was eat my peanuts really slow because you don't have to. And sip a little bit. And eat, you know, anyway, I'll never fly again. But this announced it said 2 more weeks for airlines now for masks. And I was like, 2 weeks? I've heard that before. But you know, you look at what's going on there and what's going on in the world, the world situation in Ukraine, and what's going on there, and my heart breaks, especially as the footage comes out of just innocent lives being taken. And you're like, what's the purpose of all that? I don't understand it. And there's so much of it I have no control over. And like you, many of you in your life, both, you know, my mom's been in and out of the hospital with some heart issues this past year. Cindy's mom's been in and out of the hospital. And she's going in for surgery here, coming right up, as long as some of you. And I wasn't joking when I'm saying I'm tired of hearing the word cancer and chemo and biopsies. And there's so much in the world that when we look at it from this point of view, it just, how about you, but you're kind of like, what's going on? And in this world we have, we're so powerless in so many different ways. And yet we come to a day like Easter that in it, it really stirs up within us this there's something more. Do you find yourself in that? The desire for something more? Because, you know, if this world is it, right? There's a lot of problems with this, if this world is it. And if you're living your life for just the here and now, a couple of the problems is, one, it's way too short. It's way too short. I remember being a little kid and looking at my teacher, and I asked her, I said, how old are you? And that was probably second grade. And she goes, I'm, you know, she was in her 30s. I was like, wow. You're like 30 years old? You're like a mummy or something. I was just like, 30. The next thing I know, I was 30. Like, wow, how'd that happen? Right? I mean, I had a conversation with someone this week, and I think I'm technically considered middle age. I'm 50. I'll be 55 this year. I'll be the speed limit. Used to be the speed limit. It still is somewhere, I'm sure. I was like, wow, 55. And I was talking about how that's, you're like, wow, that's old. You're like, you're almost a mummy. Yeah, I know. And I figure I'm middle age because what happens is I get people who are like in their 20s are like, wow, you're old. And I got people who are like, someone this morning, you know, talking about, oh, we have a young pastor. It's like, yes. All right. So I'm kind of stuck. I'm kind of stuck in the middle. You're there or else no group wants me. And, but you stop and you look at this and it just goes by so quick. Where did it go? So the problem with this world, it goes too quick. Second, I remember when I was young, I always said I was always kind of an optimistic type of person. Some people would say a dreamer. But I find as I get older, it's harder to do that. Do you find yourself fighting that being cynical? You know, I find myself wanting to open the door and yell, get off my lawn. I mean, I don't know, you know, and there's no one there. I mean, I don't know where that came from. But you find that stirring up within you, right? You know, I used to turn on the news to find out what's going on, and now I yell at the people that's on the news. And there's so much of it out of our control. And I long for more. There's got to be something else. And so when we look at all these things, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. If you're here this morning, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the resurrection changes everything. The fear of death is gone because he has conquered it. All the things that I have done, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That Jesus died on the cross to take the penalty for your sins and mine. And you know what? I have quite the pile. The things I've done, the shameful things, the thoughts. Oh, I remember when I was younger, I thought, oh, I want the power to read minds. I don't want that power. I know what comes out of people's mouths now. I don't want to know what they're thinking. Right? And just look at Facebook. Had a lady post something and I asked her about it. And she goes, that's none of your business. I said, you put it there and it came to me in my house. Well, I didn't make you read it. Like, okay. All the things. And that's all taken up in the cross. I don't owe that debt anymore because of Jesus Christ. But it didn't end there. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, it says he was delivered up for our trespasses. That's our sin. Right? He was nailed to the cross because of what you have done and I have done. He paid that price for us. And it says, and he raised for our justification. See, you got to understand, if Jesus died for our sins but then stayed in the grave, he did not rise again, then we would get a free ride to the grave. But he offers us more. His resurrection gives us justification, gives us a hope that beyond this life there's something more, something better. The book of Acts puts it this way, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. The giver of life could not be held by death. And the stone was rolled away and Christ arose. Actually, we still celebrate this to our very, we're here today. Today is Sunday, right? The Jews celebrated on Saturday, which was their Sabbath, because Jesus created the world, God created the world in 7 days, and on the six days, the last day, he rested. And so the Jews celebrate that as a day of rest because God rested, and that was Saturday. The church, we gather on Sunday. The reason why is because we celebrate Easter every week. We celebrate the resurrection, this new week, this new hope, this new life all starts. And I know some of you are used to working Monday. You know, Monday's your first day of the week, and then Sunday's your last day of the weekend. I challenge you to actually look at the calendar. Sunday is the first day of the week, the new start. And as Christians, we celebrate that every week. That we gather together to worship Him. And the word worship really breaks it down as worth-ship. What is the worth of Christ to you? What is that worth? And it's worth of my time, my energy, my voice, my love, my adoration. He is worth that. And so we look at the idea of the resurrection, that Easter is a day of worship. I want to give you just three reasons why we celebrate and worship Christ on this day. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves one thing. He proves that He can keep His promises. He can keep His promises. We are heading into an election year. If you guys know that or not. Politicians will be coming on TV and saying a whole lot of stuff. Can I give you a warning? Don't believe them. Don't believe them. Because they'll say what they have to say to who they have to say it to get their votes. And there's that cranky old man who's showing up, right? Get off my lawn. And I know in my life, I've been one, my daughter will say, well, Dad, you promised. If you have children, that is one of the big things they like to say. Well, you promised. And now in a child's mind, if you said, look, I'll think about it, that is a promise, right? I didn't promise that. I know, especially over the last, 2 years with COVID and all the there are things they say, we're going to do this, we'll put this off. And because, the kids are next door, but parents, you know how this works. Because sometimes you'll just say whatever you have to, maybe your politicians, you say whatever you have to say to get them off your back for that 5 minutes, right? So you kick it down the line. We'll do that later, right? We'll do that later. Well, then it's later, and can we do it? Well, no, I can't. Why? And sometimes I have every intention of doing it, but sometimes I forget. I don't know about you, but memory is not my great thing. My wife will get frustrated with me, and she'll tell me, remember not to forget. I don't know how that works. But sometimes I forget until it's too late. Sometimes I don't have the power to do what I promised to do. Right? Sometimes circumstances change. I promised we'd go somewhere, we go there, and it's closed. I have no power over that. I'm sorry, especially with COVID, things were all over the place, right? You never just didn't know. But you promised. Well, I can't keep that promise because I don't have the power, the ability, the know-how. I didn't know this was going to happen ahead of time. Yet Christ kept His promise. Look at this in Matthew 28. We share this in the sunrise service, and every year I come back to this because this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began the dawn. So the Sabbath is Saturday. Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Then verse 5 says, but the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. What's those next words? As He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. Indeed, He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. He is not here. He is risen as He said. I could preach that every Easter. I could preach that every week. God keeps His promises. Jesus told them, look, it's going to happen. They're going to come. They're going to take me away. They're going to crucify me. But don't be afraid. 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. And the disciples were like, they didn't get it. And in the midst of it all, they all abandoned Him when fear took over.
they forgot that God always keeps his promises. Because nothing can stop him.
Nothing catches him by surprise. As a father, like I said, I didn't know this was going to happen. God knows everything. He warned them ahead of time. He told them exactly what was going to take place, how it was going to happen. He told them. And it happened just as he said. He said death couldn't keep him from keeping his promise. He has the power to do what he says he will do. And for that alone, he's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be followed, to give our lives to. He has the power to do what he says that he will do. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. It's a promise. And you know what? God takes care. Amen? I will never leave you
nor forsake you.
In this world, you know, one of the biggest tragedies and troubles that people have is loneliness. We have all this electronics. We have Facebook. We have everything else. All these people, and people are more alone than ever before. I think one of the huge tragedies throughout COVID has been the loneliness that it brought on the people. Of people dying in nursing homes and hospitals, unable to be visited and be alone. Of people fearful to get out, cooped up. Of the distance. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise that there is nothing that I can do that will turn him away. In a world of so much conditional love, right? I'll love you if you have the same political views as me, right? I'll love you if you do what I tell you to do, if you fall in line. In a world that says if you don't play along, you're going to be canceled, gaslighted, however big term you want to throw in there, it's popular now. See, Jesus knows who you are. He keeps his promises. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not slack. You know, I'll make a promise, and I know I'm not going to keep it. Don't tell my wife that. And I'll get to it. Someday, maybe. But God's not slack. No, his time is different than ours. God will fulfill all these things. The book of Numbers says this, and God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do? And has he spoken, and will he not make good? God will do all that he promised. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and we worship him. You know, to be in the Word, to see what he says. That's the importance of it. We get together, we read this, because these are the promises of God. One of the things I've been looking at, Jesus says, look, if I go away to prepare a place for you, if I go away, I will come again. Jesus is coming again. I believe that with my whole heart. He has his promise. I look forward to that day. Lord, come quickly. We worship him because he keeps his promises. Second one, because he knows your name. The book of John is interesting in all the scene that's going on. You know, you think about this, that Jesus died for the sins of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He took the weight of not just my sin, but the world's sin upon himself. But I remember when I was younger, I used to think that God was so far away. I thought, if you're familiar with the term deism, I thought, and a deist believes that there's a God, but God's kind of like this great watchmaker. He made the universe, he wound it up, and just let it go. And kind of let us go to our own devices. But boy, as you read the Bible, you find out something totally different. Here you have the scene of the resurrection and the disciples and what's all going on. We have angels and earthquakes and soldiers, all this hubbub going on, right? All the craziness that is life. And then John tells us down, brings us down to Mary. And Mary's at the tomb. It says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laid. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him. And then when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? And I find that this is so like me. That we get so caught up in ourselves. We get so caught up in our misery. We get so caught up in our own world that, I don't know about you, but do you ever get those blinders that go like this? And you only see things one way? And she's like, look, I'm looking for Jesus. Jesus, she followed him. Jesus had healed her. And here she had followed him. She had all these things, and now he's gone. And she was the one she laid all her hopes on. And she's crying in desperation, Lord, where are you? And Jesus is what? Right? Right there. You ever feel like God is so far away? God, don't you care? You know, in life, I'm struggling. I'm going down, right? I'm going down for the third time. Lord, where are you? Ever felt that? Maybe things aren't working out. Maybe you feel like your prayers haven't been answered, or at least not answered like you thought they would. Can I rest assure you, Jesus is right there. Because one of the promises of God is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But she's so blind. So she supposed that it would be the gardener. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus spoke her name. Folks, as you read the scriptures, you find out something really amazing. You find out that God is a personal God. He's not far away. You know, this past week I had to get some tax form. And I was supposed to have it. I didn't have it, so I went online and called the corporation where I was supposed to get this thing. And they, oh, I'm sorry. Well, you need this other number. Oh, okay. So I called them. I said, no, you get, you know, you ought to that get, you know, so you jump around and then finally you go on and then you get this robot. Push one for English. Please listen, because all the options have changed. Like I knew what they were to begin with. Right? And it goes through the whole thing and it's like, none of them fit what I needed. So I kind of waited, and that's incorrect. So finally, it kicks me over to this other menu. Hold on while we connect you to, and it was one of these robots that you talk to now, right? So please state your problem. I need a tax form. Can you please repeat that? It's like, come on. You know? So finally that kicked me out because that computer didn't like me. And so they kicked me over and finally I'm on hold and they're playing this horrible music. And I'm convinced they play that horrible music to make you hang up. But I'm stubborn. So I'm like, I'm, you know, this is a battle. I'm, you know, so I'm, So finally, there's a break in the music. I said, oh, finally, someone's going to come in. And no, it's another recording. And you know what they say, right? Your call is very important to us. No, it's not! You would have answered it if it was important to you!
Long story short, I talked to the lady. She goes, well, I can't help you, but you can go on our website, which you have to register. That's a whole, I'm going to go there. I don't have time this morning. It's like, live in such an impersonal, cold world. We're so afraid of being ourselves. Right? You know, what if my coworkers really knew my political bent? What would they say?
What if they knew what I was really like? This morning, there's a lot of people who won't even come to a church because they're afraid that people in here will judge them. What will they think? Can I tell you something? Most churches, we're filled with people who are just as broken, who are worried about the same thing. Maybe you're here this morning, and you say, you know, if you really knew what it was like. God knows all those things. He knows your name.
The book of Luke, Jesus says this. It says, there are not five sparrows sold for
two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs in your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are of more value than the sparrows. Folks, you are created in the image of God. God is an artist, and
the Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I believe each one of us has our God's fingerprints on us, and we belong to him. And though sin has marred that, and sin has caused me to break away from him, he has pursued me, and he is pursuing you this morning. Why? I don't know. Why does God love me? I don't know. I'm not a lovely person. I'm not worthy of anything. Like God, the creator of the universe, would know my name. And yet, the Bible says he even knows how many hairs are on my head. And at my age, that's a changing number every day. He knows my name. When I come to him in prayer, he doesn't put me on hold. Doesn't require me to push one or two. I just come boldly before his throne of grace and pour my heart out to him. And you know what? He says, come. Come as you are. I got nothing to give you, Lord. No, just come. He's done it all. He paid it all for you and for me. Isn't that worthy of worship? We worship him because he keeps his promises. We worship him because he knows our name.
And lastly, I want to take a look at, we worship him because we're forgiven. On that night in which Jesus was taken, the chaos went. Familiar with the story in the Garden of Gethsemane. The guards came and Judas, with a kiss, betrayed Jesus, one of his close friends. Betrayed him with a kiss. And as that night progressed, was taken from court to court, was beaten and bruised, was flogged, was made fun of, was spit upon, was accused. And the disciples, for fear, all ran away.
Peter, one of his disciples, stayed close to kind of see what was going to happen. But as he was doing that, he got caught up in it all. Matthew reveals this to us. It says, now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee, right? You were one of his followers. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was of Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. As Jesus was brought and all these things, Peter, I'm sure, fear grabbed him. If they took Jesus, maybe he was next. As he saw the abuse that Jesus took, I don't want that. So instead of taking that shame, he denied. And Peter was one of these ones that said, Lord, I will follow you to death until that time came. And Peter let him down. Now, maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I believe Jesus is God. I've accepted him. But Lord, my life denies you. You know, if someone were to look at my life and they accuse me of being a Christian, would it stick? They look through my Facebook or look through my emails. Would there be evidence that I was a Christian, or would I just blend in with the rest of the world? Maybe we deny him in so many different ways. And I'm sure when Peter was there thinking, as Jesus died, the last words he says, I don't know him. Years ago, I talked to a young lady, and she was having a hard time. She said, before her father died, the last word she had was, I hate you. She got into an argument, as fathers and daughters often did, and I hate you, and stormed out. And the father had gotten into an accident and died. And talking to her, she was haunted by that. That was the last words I ever said to my father. Good lesson, though. Be aware of what you say, maybe your last. I'm sure that was going through Peter's mind as Jesus died, the last words he said. But then Jesus did not stay dead, and he rose again. And Peter rejoiced in the fact that his Savior, the one he loved, was back. But man, how do you come back? How do you come back from that? And maybe you're here this morning. We talk about the resurrection. We talk about a God who loves you, a God who forgives you, a God who calls you back. And you're like, how do I do that? What's the road back to God look like? Maybe I can never come back. John 21 talks about this interaction. Because what happened with Peter was a fisherman. And Jesus called him and said, look, leave those behind and come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, after Jesus died and rose again, Peter's back fishing. Because that's what we tend to do, right? We tend to go back to what's familiar. We tend to go back to what we feel is safe, don't we? You have the alcoholic who struggles and wants to be clean, and yet when the struggles of life goes on, what? He goes back and finds what's comfortable again. We find often those who go to jail, who come out and try to have a changed life, but it's difficult to overcome that. And so what happens? What? You get sucked into the same crowd, the same people. You get sucked back in that same life. Those are extreme cases, but you and I fall into
we tend to fall back into what is comfortable. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe these things in our lives that we know is not good for us. But instead of changing, it's because that's difficult. And going forward, we tend to go back. In John 21, Jesus is approached Peter, and Peter's fishing, and Jesus says, "All right, Peter, come on out." And they come out, and Jesus got a fire there, and he's cooking up some fish, and we pick this up in verse 15. And so when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And people argue what these are. Some people say it's the disciples. I tend to think it's the fish. The Bible says he was cooking fish and gives a fish. Basically, it's, "Peter, do you love me more than what your life was? Do you love me more than all the things that make you comfortable in this world?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my lambs." And I said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And then verse 19 says, "And then he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me." Peter denied him three times. Jesus made him reaffirm him three times. And he says, "Okay, now let's pass. Let's move on. And follow me." See, the key is all of it at the end of the day is what you're going to do from here on out. When we leave this place, "Lord, will I follow you?" He said, "Well, you don't know what I've done." No, I don't. I don't need to. God already knows. I saw a meme on Facebook, and I think one of those ones I shared. It says, if you think God can't use you because of your stupidity, remember, God already factored that in. And that put a smile on my face because God has already factored in my stupidity. When I let him down, he already knows I was going to do that, and he called me anyways. See, the resurrection offers forgiveness, a new start, a new life in following him. Leave it all behind and follow me. Romans says this, "Therefore the law entered that the offense might abound." Right? The law shows my sin. The Bible says you shouldn't do this, and I did it. Oh, no. You know, think of it as you're driving down the road, and you've all done this, driving down the road, and you're just kind of cruising, and then you see the speed limit sign, and it's not what you're doing. And all of a sudden, now I'm guilty because I saw it. I was guilty before, but the sign just pointed it out. My daughter can now ride in the front seat, and she likes to look over and says, "Dad, what was the speed limit?" It's like, and now it's bad because we all have the GPSs and everything on the screens in the car. So it used to be that, you know, people had to look over to see how fast you're going. Now it displays for everyone to know. Like, your sin is all on display. It's like the shame is all right there. Right? I mean, it's just like... And yet all of this is forgiven. From here on out. The question is, do you take advantage of that opportunity? Will you leave it all behind and say, "Lord, I will follow you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you died and buried and rose again on this very day we celebrate this Easter, this new life. Lord, I want that new life with a new hope. And a God who keeps his promises. But moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound.
But where sin abounds, grace abounds much more.
You cannot do anything that God cannot forgive you for. You can never go so far that all it takes is one step back. Because he paid it all. He accomplished it all.
They said, well, you don't know. It doesn't matter. I know Jesus.
Like, death could not hold him. The grave could not stop him. The stone didn't slow him down. That's the power of God. That he offers you today. Today is Easter,
a day of celebration. For us as Christians, we celebrate this day with great hope and great joy. For today, in a world full of darkness, he is the light that dawned in the darkness. He is the life,
the resurrection. I pray that today is that day you will grab that and follow him.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, today is a day to worship you. And Lord, you are worthy of that worship. Lord, you are worthy of me following. Lord, you keep your promises. Lord, you know my name. And Lord, you forgive.
Oh Lord, you are worthy to be praised, worthy of our worship, worthy of my life. Challenge us today to follow you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.